Hi, welcome to the UCB Theater podcast for the week of Sunday, October 10th. It's been, I think, 100 fucking years since we did a podcast. Sorry about that. Will and I don't like any of you and hate having to do podcasts. I'm here with the cast of the Pretty Good Sports Show. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Let's just go around the table and say who you are, but don't say your real name. Say really funny, ridiculous names for yourselves. Let's just go around the table and say who we are.
Oh, okay. I'm Adam Lustig.
Hello.
Hello. Good. Hi.
Funny name.
That's very, very funny.
Oh, man, Lustig.
I'm Matt Fisher.
Okay.
Normal.
That's good. I can't be right.
I'm Caitlin Taggart.
Hi.
I'm Shecky Goofball.
There we go. Hello.
A.K.A. Craig Rowe.
We got the legendary Shecky Goofball in studio with us.
Shecky.
Yeah, so welcome back to the UCB Theater Podcast. We're going to try to do more of these more regularly. You know, fucking life happens. Am I right,
yeah.
People?
No.
You know?
Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Yeah.
To do podcasts.
Or other podcasts.
Yep. Just to quickly gloss over what's going on at the theater this
Definitely
week.
Definitely gloss over it.
I'm just going to fucking gloss it over.
You guys probably
all know from looking at the schedule and being fucking devoted followers, ravenous followers of the UCB Theater. We're doing a UK invasion thing this month. A lot of stand-ups from the UK, including David O'Doherty, who is from Ireland, but I accidentally listed him as a UK comic.
Oh, he'll be fine with that.
And there was we restarted the war.
Yeah, that's it.
So I
single-handedly.
Now he has a new joke for his bit.
Yeah, he actually, that was the first thing he said when he came out on stage. he pointed that out, much to my own horror. So the 13th and 14th, Wednesday and Thursday, we have Simon Amstell coming back. He's a great UK comic. You should check him out if you like stand-up comedy or comedy at all. And then the 15th is Francesca Martinez at 7:30. Also a really great comic. She's been on Extras. And she might have even been on Extra, the singular.
Oh. Because when you're a celebrity, you're in the spotlight.
Mario Lopez!
Yeah, he gets you on the list, right, guys?
That's amazing. Francesca, Italian, Martinez, Hispanic, from the UK, on Extra.
Sounds funny.
Yeah.
Sounds, oh man, globe spanning comedy.
She's a regular Shecky Goofball.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I don't know if this podcast will be up before Monday night, but 9:30 p.m. is a new improv show called Comiskey with writers and performers from SNL. A lot of new writers and performers that have come over. Yeah, yeah. Sports reference, which is right in you guys' wheelhouse.
Yeah,
right?
Speaking of sports, let's put off speaking of sports.
Yeah, just two quick ones. Wednesday, October 13th is Citizen Rothstein at 9:30. That's a new show that you directed, right, Caitlin? Nicole Shabtai's show?
Yes, starring and written by Nicole Shabtai. It's the four characters from this girl's life that's having a wildly expensive Upper East Side bat mitzvah.
It's a great show. And of course, Craig, you're in, and Matt, you guys are both in the law firm.
Double team.
Law firm, 10:30 is Friday night.
10:30 on Fridays.
Shows are getting really good, I think. I think the law firm is really starting to sort of hit its stride.
Yeah.
It's good guys and gals, lots of laughs. And you come out, you have a good time.
Yeah. Will Mario Lopez be there? I think is the question everybody wants to know.
If not, his loss.
I always leave one ticket under Mario Lopez's name.
Yeah. And he almost always shows.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's funny, there are three
so
people,
cheap.
There are three people enrolled in classes named Mario Lopez. That are, so they sort of get in under that umbrella.
Okay. Oh, and also, I just want to say real quick, Will Hines isn't fucking here, okay? So don't expect to hear his voice. And also, I didn't set up the tent the way that we normally set it up when he was here, because I'm lazy. So if the audio quality is slightly diminished from what it normally is, first of all, you people have been fucking dying for a new podcast
deal with it.
So accept it and suck it up.
You hate your audio.
I really do.
You hate the exercise of making a podcast.
Months of tweets about when are we going to get a new podcast? Right. You know what? Here it is. Okay?
Yeah.
Print out a transcript of it and stick it in your ass. Okay?
Wow. Tweet that.
Yeah.
Tweet that.
Oh my god.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Let's get into the niceties. Okay, so you guys all work on the Pretty Good Sports Show. In addition to being great UCB performers, you guys all have the pleasure of working together on Pretty Good Sports Show.
Yep.
Yeah, yes, that's awesome. Right.
So tell me what the Pretty Good Sports Show is.
It's the Pretty Good Sports Show. We just finished our first season. It's on ESPNNewYork.com, and it's a weekly topical sports sketch comedy show. Is that pretty good? Yeah. So it's like usually we do topical jokes about what's happening in New York sports and sometimes national sports, and then we do one sketch a week. So we've sort of somehow found a way to get a sketch show on ESPN's website.
Yeah, that's great. Now, how did it come about? Did they approach you, or was this somebody's pitch?
Yeah, it was two producers at ESPN named Melissa Panzer and Ryan Nantel, and somebody else wanted to pick up.
It's sort of the second version of a thing that started over the winter, this insane project where we, the four of us, and also a bunch of other performers.
Dan Klein, Zach Robidas, and some other.
Dan Klein.
Leslie Mizell and Sean Diston were involved.
A couple guys.
Where we would go to Bristol, to ESPN headquarters, and write a show overnight. We would actually literally watch the feeds coming into ESPN, and then from like 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. write a sketch show.
It was crazy.
And then film it by like 8 a.m. and then send it to the editors and they would put it up by noon. We did that a couple times and it was...
It was insane. Maniacal. It was crazy. It was, it was pretty much being up for over 24 hours straight.
It was the plot of Satan.
Yeah. It was Satan's Spawn.
Right.
But it was... it came out of that. So we did that, three pilots of that in January, February, and I think the reason that this show exists is because I'm a big Mets fan. That's like one of the only sports teams I care about. And we happen to have a bunch of Mets jokes in the course of these three episodes. When it's off season for baseball, this was February, so nobody cares about Mets.
Right.
And then,
except for us.
And then Lustig and Dan Klein were in the offices one day having a meeting with Melissa Panzer.
That's right, at ESPN. And then Kristen Huckshorn, who's a producer, walked by and she sort of had recognized us from the pilots that we had shot. And she thought that it would be a great idea we sort of joked around that, like, oh, she really loved the Mets pieces that we did. And Dan and I sort of joked that, like, you know, making fun of the Mets is sort of a full-time job. And she was like, yeah, I think it just might be.
And then literally out of that, they asked us to come back and do a New York version of it from that insane conversation.
Yeah, very casual.
That's great.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
So what's the writing process like now? I assume it's not as ridiculous as 10 to 4.
No, it's
or what
it's
was it
manageable.
On this
usually
season
we come
first?
In and I'm in charge of writing the topical joke segment up top where Matt and Adam are just like headline joke.
Mm-hmm.
So we generally talk about what's been in the news. We have a production coordinator collate like all the big stories and we go through them and sort of evaluate what's most important and then like what's also could be funniest. And then we also pitch ideas for the longer sketch. And that goes on for an hour and a half or so and then we split up duties. But then I feel like by mid-afternoon it's all everyone kind of having their hand in everything.
Yes, yeah. That's Monday. Monday is a writing day where we hammer out a thing to shoot on Tuesday and put up Wednesday.
Okay,
yeah. So Monday by noon or one, we have like maybe a couple of jokes, drafts of jokes written, like half a draft of the sketch. And then as the day progresses, we have the whole show. We do like a runner, we do a full sketch, and we do the topical jokes. We write that are hopefully done by around 8 p.m.
Mm. Just sort of coalesces by the evening time. It just sort of appears.
But the end of the day, it's just a blur. And then we wake up at like 5 a.m. on Tuesday, get on a roof at 6:30 a.m. and shoot the episode the next morning.
And Matt and Adam, you guys are the face. You guys are the hosts of Pretty Good Sports.
Yeah, we combined to make the one face of the show, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sort of like, what's the dog with the... Mm-hmm. No, I'm thinking of the dog that has two heads.
McGruff the crime dog.
Yeah, McGruff the crime
dog.
Yeah. Two-headed crime dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cerebus,
So you guys are the cover boys.
That's a good one. Right.
That is the sexy gay way.
That's how I try to interpret everything through that lens. Sexy gay everything lens. In comedy.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
let's write that web series.
Cover boys.
Cover boys.
That would be perfect.
Right.
So what has the you just finished up the first season? What's the response been on the show so far? What have you heard from the people?
I think
positive.
Very
yeah.
positive. The surprise. ESPN is very within ESPN. Everybody really likes it. It's sort of a new yeah. direction for them to. I mean, they're already funny. ESPN yeah. is very funny already.
Yeah, like yeah SportsCenter. SportsCenter has that. Has yeah. always had that their kind of one-liner yeah. tone.
Yeah, their commercials are really funny. They've done Main Street, which a bunch of UCB people were involved in. Mm-hmm. But this is sort of new for them, and I think they really like it yeah. Within the building of ESPN.
Yeah. Right.
Which is pretty awesome. And then comedy fans have been, yeah. or unless they're lying to us, have been right. pretty supportive.
Yeah, and I feel well. Like sports fans are really liking it, which is the greatest. Actually, Dan Black, who guest starred in one of our episodes, said that all of his friends from Long Island now think he's a star because they check ESPN New York every day and just saw him awesome. And they were super impressed.
Awesome.
Well, there's also, what was that? What did that one guy say? We filmed a segment outside of Jets Stadium, and didn't one guy who worked inside ESPN
yeah,
say something
yeah.
very...
So we're filming this thing outside Jets Stadium, it was raining, and we were really looking for validation. And this one guy walks by us filming, and he's like, "Hey, I know you guys." And we're like, "Oh man, hey, we're getting recognized. It's pretty nice." And it happens, like yeah, it's not, you know, sure. like that. And we were like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he's like, "You guys are the Wednesday goof off.
Wednesday Who House?
The Wednesday Who House. Wednesday Who House." So we're like, "Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, a New Jersey guy, like maybe he doesn't know the name of the show."
Yeah,
he works at ESPN.
But he's also seen your short form comedy group, the Wednesday Who House.
He was one of
them. Yeah.
We're like, this is sort of a different project.
I know you guys are trying to move past that, yeah. but you know, in the age of the internet, you can't bury your past.
Exactly. But in terms of the response, one of the things that's great is that I think because of the way we write it, or maybe just because of the sort of place where we come from in terms of comedy, it's accessible to non-sports
yes,
maniacs.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, very rarely do we tell a joke where it's like, "Oh man, this guy makes Spec Shay look like yeah. somebody else." Like,
yeah.
it's very outward facing. And
right.
Yeah.
I think that comes from. I mean, these guys are sports fans. I'm a Mets yeah. fan. Like, we all have sports
yeah.
in us, but not like crazed. You know, people who check ESPN and look at the site are
Dan
like,
Black's friends.
Dan right. People from Long Island love sports. But, you know, it's a conscious thing to make sure to sort of tread the water, make sure it's funny yeah. to people who like sports, but not too insider-y that you miss out on other people who might, you know, you want it to be accessible to other
sure.
people.
Sure. Right. How much does that play into, like, where does that come in the writing process? How much are you tuned into that when you're coming up with ideas or bits? Is it just like, well, this is what's funny first, and then like, okay, well, what's accessible?
I think
what?
It's sort of the reverse. We start with this very prosaic list of what's topical that day, and it's like, it's actually pretty brutal. Like, it's not even like what's important today. A lot of that stuff gets thrown out the window because those things won't be talked about on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if that list of topics is very, very strict, then we start there and sort of branch out in the most goofy direction we can go. So the sports is sort of the kernel of the thing, but the writing often involves like just pure insanity.
I mean, oftentimes it's the biggest story. Like, we did a Darrell Revis, he had that huge holdout for the Jets. So we were like, well, we have to do this. This is the biggest thing, and it's funny. There's something funny there. But at the same time, like, one of our pilot shows for this version and the sketches online was that Bobby Bonilla.
Right.
He had this insane contract with the Mets. He hasn't played for the team in years, and somehow he's getting paid $1.5 million a year
for like 35 years.
Yeah, until like 2020 or something crazy. So we're like, well, this isn't the biggest news, but it's so funny. Like, it's New York based also, which is part of what we want to do and what ESPNNewYork.com wanted us to do. So,
right.
You know, if there's something inherently funny, we also tend to do that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Bonilla's name is inherently funny.
It is a really funny name.
It's a double silent L.
Yeah, always hilarious. Mm-hmm.
It's not even silent. It has a Y.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it has a kind of tilde kind of sound. Yeah.
Tilde, yes.
You're welcome, everybody. There's so many people at home being like, that's what it is. It's called a tilde.
And now they're all wrong. Now they all believe something. Yeah.
So stop tweeting at us. Get some grammar lessons, okay? You
fucking
got
Christ,
one.
Holy shit. So let's talk about the use of the application of the UCB philosophy and mentality. I knew you were going
to
be a fucking difficult guest. I'm going to force it in there. I'm I'm T-boning you guys. That's also a weird sex term that I'm trying to
cover.
obviously you guys have all, you're all regular UCB performers, studied here, you all know, you fucking live and breathe the UCB mentality and philosophy. Yep. How does that get applied to what you do on Pretty Good Sports Show?
I think it's always there. It's one of those things where when we're writing, sketches that we're focusing on the game and trying to make it funny and clear and get out the joke in the first page. But it's also really interesting working with people who don't do comedy, because mm-hmm. our producers, they're funny people, but they don't do comedy, and they're higher ups at ESPN that you sometimes have to talk to. And it's nice to be able to clearly sort of state what's going on in the sketches and make it like, I don't know. I think when I think of game, I think of like, I can make this very clear mm-hmm. and concise. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's funny about it?
Yeah, exactly. And you can, it's easier to sort of explain to people who also don't do comedy through.
Right.
Through,
yeah, that's certainly true.
It helps you professionally when you're talking to sort of non-comedic producers and things to be able to break things down in a very practical way and think about things in a very systematized way. That really helps us with them. I mean, not to complain about the treatment we've had at ESPN, though, even people who aren't accustomed to comedy there are so hospitable.
Oh, absolutely.
The crazy stuff that we do. And also, like, it's so it's so powerful to, like they work on this insane schedule and this insane sort of system of sports celebrities and trying to get all this stuff out. So it was very powerful for us to be in the writer's room and, for example, to say, like, yeah, you know what would be funny if this was sung by Rockapella? And then 5 minutes later, Rockapella's manager is on the phone.
Right.
So that sort of reach that they have. Is,
yeah. They're,
yeah.
It's a great environment.
Yeah, and then the other great thing is because of UC, I mean, there's so many amazing performers here that we've been able to get, people, we sort of pack our show with UCB people, Santangeli mm-hmm. and Nate
Will
Lang,
and Leslie, and everybody.
And Will and Leslie, and all of these good people have made sketches that were funny, a million times funnier. Right, and that's always that's always a great thing, too, is that, like, with that, Santangeli and Nate Lang did these two Yankees fans, like Anthony and Anthony, who are cousins, and they improvised a ton of incredible lines and made that sketch, like, so much better than mm-hmm. it could have been with them.
And that happens, I think, because we all sort of speak a common comedic language. Totally. They know right what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Like, it must be so easy, even just for the four of you, to know, like, we all speak the same language. We can all communicate in the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've all drank the same Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We all speak the same way.
We communicate in the same way.
And then, having this, like you said, this pool of people to come in and also, be like, and since, we're all, we all know each other, we're all friends, we have that shared kind of language and that shared kind of like, oh yeah, I see what you want. I've worked with you before, so I know kind of what your sensibility is and I know what you want out of this.
And even more just straight from the... I don't know. I can't think of a saying. Straight from the heart. That's not at all what I meant. But really practically is that I did mod stuff. Caitlin did as well. So like when we're running the writing room, it's based on exactly how we did it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's another question I was going to ask you: is how does that translate to?
It's totally.
So you did mod night, which is you basically meet every week to write and work on sketches, and then you put up a brand new sketch show every month.
Absolutely the same. The only difference being that the turnaround is much shorter, and we're in a room writing
mm-hmm.
together. Although you'd write in mod together sometimes too, but it's exactly the same way. You give notes the same way that you give in mm-hmm. the writer's room.
And just running a room as far as knowing when the individual's ready to go off by themselves and deal with it. Yeah. And, mm-hmm.
And I think that's also just, in writer's room in general, I learned all that through Mod Night. So,
yeah.
So go see, Gorilla Grill.
Just like...
That's my favorite team.
Or just join them.
Yeah, just get on that team. Not everybody can get on a mod team.
Right.
So what do you do if you're not on a mod team? How do you replicate those? How do you develop those skills as a writer to prepare yourself?
Everybody here has done, before even Mod Night existed, had done sketch shows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very positive collaboration. I think that, I don't know, part of this is I get to work in this situation and in others, but here I get to work with people who I get along with really well and respect really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, independent of if you haven't worked on Mod Night or haven't worked in a formalized writer's room, I think, you know, working with people who you can just talk to in a very practical way is a good baseline for that, to sort of discover the process yourself of, you know, how do you complain about what you don't like about a sketch written by someone who you dearly love?
Right.
Exactly. That's something we do all the time, and you'll notice we're not directly speaking to each other because we don't anymore.
Right. But there's a lot of tension in this room.
We're also all facing in different directions with microphones all around the room.
Yeah. It took me 3 hours to set this up.
Thank you for putting a microphone where I usually stare.
But I think really that's true. Is, you know, when luckily we had the chance, like, you know, I was part of the process to get writers involved in this, and the way it started also was, you know, Dan Klein was originally the first person they got involved through Onion Sports Network,
mm-hmm.
and we cut him. No, he couldn't. He didn't do the show because he was writing for a TV show for Onion Sports Network, but he got me involved originally. Then, like, you know, I got Caitlin involved, you know, and we all got each other involved.
I got,
like,
Shecky involved.
Shecky Goofball's
here.
But you know, that's the same way this happened is the same way sketch shows in general should happen is, you know, like, I'm sure Sidecar and Harvard Sailing Team started the same, I assume. You know, it's people, like-minded people that you want to, that you find funny, and then you want to create stuff together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is, this is something I've thought for a long time, and I'd love to broadcast generally, is that, I don't know.
Oh, here goes the agenda.
It's not a broadcast, it's a podcast.
Oh, no!
Just cut spending. You can't. No, is that, like, I don't know, we're so blessed to be in a community with so many gifted people that I think it's sort of a lost cause to try and, like, figure out who is the most talented person I can, like, attach myself to.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, the barometer for me is just, like, who do I get along with? Like, who, you know, who socially do I respond to, or who do I enjoy being with? And those are the people, I think that leavens, you know, creative collaboration in such a great way.
Yeah. That being said, though, we are going to discuss who the most talented people are.
We'll
in order.
Right, from, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I can tell you who they're not.
And the same thing with your group, Harvard Sailing Team.
Yeah.
You guys have been together you've done a lot of shows, right?
Yeah,
you guys.
It was the same sort of thing. We met in school and we just got along. And it was, I think that was as good of a foundation to start a comedy group as anything else. I mean, almost the best foundation to start a comedy group is if you get along with somebody.
Yeah, so make friends.
Make friends first. Be
social. I think that's important, you know, like, I teach sketch here too, but people ask, like, how do you put up a show? Just, you know, find people that you like, that you think their stuff is funny, and you like the same movies or whatever.
Yeah.
And just do it, you know.
Right.
It's,
You got to bond with people. You can't just come into your classes, do your shit, and leave. You know, you got to, like, get to know the people in your sketch classes and hang out together. And, like, if somebody writes sketches that you're like, oh, man, I wish I'd written that sketch, like, talk to that person because you probably have a shared sensibility.
Sure.
And there's also a skill in adapting, which is something that I feel like working on this show has really sort of has opened my eyes to, which is the idea of writing for somebody else, of having, like, sort of try and find their voice and not just writing. I mean, you can hear how a joke can be told in your voice, but, like, writing for somebody else and, like, Caitlin writing for Matt and I, and, like, you're so skilled at that. And that's to me, seems like a very sort of honable, specific skill that you can develop in writing in somebody else's.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I have tried to get better at over the years in various situations that I've been in, writing for other people like Maude Knight and writing for, you know, web series and shit like that.
Yeah.
But how do you approach that?
I think it's fine. I think it's gradual. Like, when you were saying that, it sort of just made me think, as we did this show, we had, like, 12 weeks to do this show. Like, Adam, hanging out with people, you get, like, a sense of who they are. And we've sort of created a character for Adam by the end that he was, like, just sort of a brain-dead idiot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I appreciate your compliment that I'm good at writing for you, but I also just think I created a deranged person.
By the end, like, he wouldn't know people's names. Like, it turned out he didn't know who Matt was, and they host a show together. But I think it's like, you find what, like anything else, it's, you know, the kernel of what you think is funny about these people. You know, like, we were on a shoot once, and Adam said he used to be addicted to yogurt.
Right.
So then eventually we just wrote a thing where they ate yogurt because... But I think it has to come from a truthful place, you know, somewhere, you know, Adam is really a brain-dead idiot.
Right.
And, but no, but Adam, you know, like, with that example, for instance, Adam is, like, sort of this great optimistic... really high energy person, so you have to take out what you think is funny about that,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it takes time, you know, it built over weeks, but
yeah, sure, probably also something that comes from just getting to know the people that you're absolutely. Working with, and like absolutely. Respecting and liking the people that yeah, you're working totally. With too.
Well, that's, I mean, and that goes a lot faster too, because we are in the writer's room, because like we're writing and then we're turning around
right,
and reading the sketches that get written as a part of the revision process.
Sure.
So like when Adam and I, like, we'll be in the middle of reading and we'll dick around and, you know, like mm-hmm. goof on what's being written or say things wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, so to be able to sort of perform / write things is right. Like that speeds up that process.
Yeah. And I think that's important too, because like, you know, we have six different mod teams here. I know some of them work in different ways. And I don't know how many sketch groups outside of this work this way, probably not many, or have this issue, probably not many, but you know, with some groups, it'll just be the writers, and then after a couple of weeks, you bring the actors in. And then with some groups, the actors are encouraged mm-hmm. to be involved as much as possible from the, you know, the beginning mm-hmm. of writing mm-hmm. And meetings and yeah. stuff. And I feel like it's more helpful to have the actors in there from the start, because, like, the actors feel like they're part of the team. Everybody feels like they're part of the team. You get to know these people's voices, and you get to hear people read this material.
Right.
So it's like... oh, yeah, okay, I hear what this person is doing that's funny about this, or, oh, they're saying something that I didn't even realize yeah. was funny about this.
Right.
Sure.
So, I think that is definitely beneficial to be able to, you know, when you're performing something, be able to read it from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, on stage, everyone's effort is going to happen at the exact same time.
Yes.
Right.
Anyway, you know, yeah. like, it all gets mixed together. By the end, you know, so
yeah.
like, I think that, right. I mean, obviously there are just different systems that work well, but I think that, you know. That,
but mine is right.
Right.
Mine
is right. Right. I think we proved that.
In some ways, I do think that's true, but I mean, my mod team, we didn't do that. We brought in actors later. But I think, and I agree that bringing in actors earlier is important too, but I think sometimes in working conditions, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So it's also good yeah. to, I think a good thing that I've learned is like, know everybody, what everybody's like. Well, know what
yes.
everybody's doing. Like,
sure.
I think something I'm surprised about sometimes with students is like, they don't know what videos have gone up this week on like
right.
used to be comedy or Funny or Die or College Humor or whatever. And it's like, you need to know what everybody's doing. Know what this actor is good at.
Right.
So if yeah. you don't have the luxury of bringing somebody in, you know what they feel like, their voice is like, you know what's going on. Otherwise, because if you get that opportunity to write for, like, we can't bring in Santangeli or Nate the day of,
voice.
But we know exactly, you know, we've worked with
yeah.
them, we know what they're like, so
sure.
you yeah. should be aware of all that stuff, and it helps to sort of be able to, you know, sell
mm-hmm.
sketches without, not sell money-wise, because who
right.
can't sell sketches
yeah.
anywhere.
Doesn't work like that.
I have a booth at the Meadowlands Flea Market where I sell
right.
You sell actual sketches of
yeah.
his faces.
That's a different
yeah.
type of thing.
Yeah, that's, I kind of
sketches
make...
Sketches of Jim Santangeli.
Yeah, yeah. Over and over again, just different kind of poses.
As a baby.
Yeah. And how important is that? You just kind of touched on it, but, you know, how important is it to be up on all the comedy,
so
that, like, especially the internet comedy that... that's going on now.
So important.
Going on now. What? Why would I have phrased it like that? Going on now?
Just
wake up. Yeah. Like, the internet comedy. yeah. How important is that?
Not only is it important to, it's important to both know it and to do it. Like, we'd get people involved, you know, the producers that we work with don't know
right.
the actors we know. So we'd be, let's pull up this UCB comedy video
exactly, yeah.
or let's pull up this. And we watch those things and we
yeah.
know what people are doing. It's really important to know what's going on, because you, first of all, you don't want to pitch ideas that have been pitched, and
right.
you want to know what people, what the trends are, and you want
mm-hmm.
to know who's hot,
who's
the
who's
hot
the
ticket
hats.
Right now,
right.
who's the
most talented,
who's the, you know, who's the, you
who's
know,
the next Shecky goofball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I tell my students, you don't have to like it. Like, no one's making you
oh,
like
sure,
it,
yeah.
but you just have to
know
it.
Know
it.
Like,
sure.
It's part of your job
it,
now.
It's right. integral if you're going to be working as a writer or even as an actor in comedy to be
yes.
on the internet, to be, like, making
videos,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To be friend making videos.
Us on Facebook.
So if you, Twitter, if you don't have the internet yet and you're into writing.
Right, which I don't.
Yeah. No, but it's totally true. You need to know. And on TV, like what sketches are going up on TV and, mm-hmm. and movies.
And live shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Like Law Firm. On Friday
night. Right. And,
yeah. Sketch elements.
Yeah.
How many ideas, talk about the rejection of ideas, and like ideas that you have that like don't get, made or don't get used or don't go through. Is there a process of like, hey, we have this idea and it's like, okay, well that's, we don't want to go in that direction or something like that.
Constant. I mean, as far as my joke segment, I bet like a third of the jokes I write for the day are actually in the episode. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
If that, maybe a fourth. And then as far as sketch ideas, it's probably...
We'd usually, for the most part, sometimes even we'd do three, which was too much, but we'd write two sketches every Monday
and then the ideas that were pitched probably...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd pitch tons of ideas. We'd write two, and, you know, if it didn't... You know, it's interesting, too, because sometimes I'd be like, oh, this one is definitely going to get in.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then later in the day, we'd read it, and the other one would hit more, and we'd be like, oh, this is... Yeah, this... I'm glad we wrote two,
right?
And we had one to just burn because,
yeah,
you know, I think that happened with that Revis one.
Yeah, exactly.
We wrote this another Yankees sketch too, and I for a little while was like, oh, the Yankees sketch will get in, and then we ended up doing this Darrell Revis sort of like a 30 for 30, like a documentary series, and that's also the biggest sketch we've done on the website.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's sort of exhilarating that afternoon too. Is if you break off and we start working on two different sketches, I think everybody sort of based on the discussion knows which is sort of the big sketch and which is the kamikaze sketch. And so it's very easy to be like, oh, fine, I'm going to write this thing. We're going to throw it out. But like, you know, like, I don't know. When you collaborate in that room, you can always, and we go back and read it and put it out there. It's interesting what people respond to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that seems like the idea at 11 o'clock is not the idea that we go with at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's also just crazy that we did that show. I mean, in 24 hours, the show would exist is like...
It just materialized somehow.
Like, it's so weird, like, having done tons of sketch and videos and stuff, and usually actors are like, when's this going to go up? And you're like, you know, maybe a couple weeks or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this, when people would film it, be like, noon tomorrow. And that, I mean, that's all because the post-production team was amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Which was also UCB, also beta team.
Ryan O'Loughlin and Zach Neumeier from Diamonds Wow both edited for us.
They're great.
Awesome.
Some graphics.
They did have to work all night.
Yeah.
This is way harder than us.
Yeah. And those guys are both great. You were talking about, you know, breaking off and writing together, and I remember talking to Christine Nangle, who's a writer for Saturday Night Live and a performer here.
I've heard of Nangle.
And a treasure.
Right. Saturday Night Live, it's a weekly sketch comedy show. It's up after Law Firm.
Just when it is, like, all shows have a time.
I don't know, I know Nangle. So.
But she was I was talking to her about writing. She was saying, like, one of the most important things she's learned is the importance of collaboration on sketches and how it's like something that she didn't. I'm kind of paraphrasing the conversation, but just this idea of.
Have you met Christine?
No, I've never spoken to her. I'm just totally making this up. But you know that idea of how helpful collaboration is. And I know you've touched on the idea that you guys all collaborate together, but in terms of your own like writing habits and writing processes. Do you find that it is easier and more helpful to you to have somebody in the room when you actually go off and break off and start writing the ideas to collaborate?
You know, yes. That couldn't be more true. I find it's sort of nightmarish to me to try and write something in isolation.
That's what I'm speaking to specifically. Is it easier to write with other people for you than it is?
I think totally. Well, it's always good to be able to go off each other a little bit and also... I mean, it just makes it so much more fun to do it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, in my like own writing, I usually write by myself, but not always at all. But in this, because of the time crunch, it's just easier to be able to be like, pitch something immediately and see the person's face and be like, no, never mind.
Yep,
or like, okay, let's go with that. Because like, it's just not, something you're going to do multiple drafts over a month, you know?
But I also think if you can't do that, it also helps just to, when we brainstorm sketch ideas, we'll go through like the beats of a sketch too. Yes. So if somebody has to run off and go write it by themselves. We've already sort of brainstormed this. We've come out with some of the beats that we're going to do, some of the specific jokes that we know that are going to happen. So it's, I think having other people's eyes on sketches is so important at some point during the process, for sure.
Sure.
And for me, it's like it's sitting in a room by myself trying to write a sketch almost seems like an impossible task. It's like when I'm alone by myself, I feel like I don't know, nothing is funny. I can't imagine any one thing being funny. What's funny about anything?
Sure.
Zach's funny and Craig's funny and Caitlin's funny.
Well, it's like, in the most simple sense, it's like serving as somebody's canary in the coal mine. A sketch is going to be a communication between two people, and so you might as well just, even any kind of collaboration is just testing out those ideas. You say something, you see how it flies.
Right.
Yeah, it really is true. I feel like a lot of times, I write mostly by myself too, and I do a lot of times feel like, oh, this is a fucking nightmare. I'm not funny. Nothing is funny about this. And then like you get it in a room with other people, and hopefully they contradict your feelings of self-doubt. Sure. But to be able to bounce it off somebody and have them be like, oh yeah, that is funny, or to just to be able to say like, is this funny? That's always super helpful. So you guys all talked about being sports fans, how you are all sports fans, and so what is it like to actually be able to, because you get a lot of writing jobs as a writer, you kind of take what you can get, and sometimes it's like just writing for a paycheck, but sometimes you get these opportunities like this where it's like, oh, I'm actually writing about something that I love and want to be doing, so how is that like?
It was great.
What happened with the end of that question. Answer it nonetheless.
We hung out with Ron Artest. Like, we were in a recording studio with Ron Artest, which was insane. He's an insane person, and it was awesome, like in a good way. And it was great. I mean, we went to the NBA Rookie Day, and I've never seen. Adam was like,
It was like Christmas.
Pure joy. I've never seen somebody.
Christmas is a holiday. It's like a winter holiday.
Oh, I don't really know what that is yet.
We're Jewish.
It's like solstice.
Okay, got it.
But it's cool. I think more than that, that was amazing. Like, we got to go to the New Meadowlands Stadium. Adam beat a NBA basketball player at horse.
It was
insane.
Wow.
It was the coolest.
Like, it was incredible, and I think that was amazing. But for me, as a comedy nerd, the best part was being able to create a sketch show. To have a framework, like, I've always wanted to do an actual sketch show. I mean, I've done plenty on stage, but we formatted a sketch show that somehow lives on ESPN.com. Like, that's like a coup. I don't know how that happened, but to bring something I love to something I like a lot, but it's so amazing that they'd let us bring people like to do something with these NBA stars in such a stupid way. Like, we also had MC Hammer on a show where he was a WNBA correspondent. It's like, that's so stupid.
And just like the little joys of, we got to watch all his footage. And so we got to watch MC Hammer interpret what we had written and kind of figure it out to himself.
He had to figure out the joke. Like, and it was in a great way. He understood it, and it was so funny.
Yeah, he did one run through, and then he was like, oh, that's the joke. All right.
Wow.
Because he wanted to get his sponsor in there too, which we got in at the end, but he was putting his sponsor into a joke we had already written. We're like, oh no, while watching it, because they had to film it while we were writing. And then you see him, and he's like, oh no, I shouldn't put this spot. Like, that would ruin the joke. And we're like,
Hammer. Wow. Who knew that he was so comedy savvy?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
If you need a mixed martial arts manager, I'm just going to plug MC Hammer.
Right. And just he does know comedy. He did the soundtrack for Adam's Family, too.
Yeah.
That's family true.
That's right.
They do what they want to do, so.
Yeah. It was kind of awesome that the way he did get the name of his management company is by saying, by yelling Hammer Time
before and after.
To ensure that, like, if we wanted to use the Hammer Time footage.
What was the name of his sponsor?
It's not Atlas. It's like
it's something
Cylon.
No, it starts with an A. It's not Cylon.
It's Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, he's a huge Battlestar Galactica.
But he goes he's like, and you know this was brought to you by whatever. Yeah. It's Hammer Time.
It's Hammer Time. We gotta use it.
Like,
we have
he's
to use
sick
it.
Of saying it, but he knows where the bread is buttered.
Atlas? Was it Atlas? No, maybe it wasn't.
It wasn't, but it was.
We also got to hang out with the Jonas Brothers. We went to see a football game with the Jonas Brothers, which was just bananas.
Sure.
That was maybe the single weirdest moment.
That was the most bizarre moment. But we just First of all, the Jonas Brothers, nice. We've met them for a couple
to
minutes.
To us, they are the nicest.
Very nice. But they do this thing where they go to cities where they do their shows, and they just, no joke, play real deal softball games.
As road hard dogs. As they
as hard, what? One of their
road dogs.
One of their, I guess, roadies or something dove full out for a foul ball and injured himself. They don't take softball like, as so a joke.
This is the best
kind of weird reality do those guys live in.
They're playing the charity softball game against these
ESPN All-Stars.
Anchors and
like
stuff.
Anchors.
And the anchors are all wearing like cargo shorts. No one cares.
And jeans. One of them's wearing jeans.
So and the road dogs come out, they trot out on the field in line. They warm up in unison and they start playing. And in the first inning, two possibly drunk but definitely laid back ESPN anchors batted out of order, and the actual Jonas Brothers march over to the umpire, and they have this long discussion, and they voided the entire inning.
They just
this charity softball game. They're like,
fucking
it's amazing.
It was called a stinker.
They never. It's just a softball game.
It's just softball.
Not, like, they don't wave to their fans. It's
we're
not like
musicians, but we play softball.
Yeah,
and they they would the fans be like Jonas, like whatever their names are, Joe Jonas, or
yeah,
Carl Jonas, or whatever.
Nick, and they'd be like, Nick, Kevin, and Joe,
and they'd sort of just like nod their heads at the fans and stuff. It was amazing.
And they were so when we finally interviewed them, it was outside their bus and like so close to these homicidal, like insane fans that were screaming, and they kept moving the barrier to get closer and closer. And while we asked them a question, that the fans started singing "Happy Birthday" to Joe, I believe.
Oh.
They all three Jonas Brothers closed their eyes,
like
they
torture.
Went into. Like, just they turned off a bit, and
they
waited
over.
For the end of the song, and then they opened their eyes, and they're like, what?
Yeah, no, actually, one of the guys, the guy whose birthday was, flipped his hand up like this and went, woo!
Like, the most sarcastic thank you.
But to their credit, I mean, they've been
amazing.
Going through this for like five, they must be, like,
they
to
so
hear screaming fans like this everywhere. It was
oh, yeah, yeah, it must be horrible.
No, their dad, though, is like total dadager, creepy dude.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
yeah.
He actually...
Guys, when the Jonas Brothers listen to this, they're going to hate us.
Also, they... go ahead.
But, like, one of them's, like, married and 23 years old, and he's still, like, clearly, you can see him approach his dad and ask him for, like, what he's supposed to do next.
Yeah.
It is so creepy.
I'm sure they're total fucking zombies, and also, yeah, one of them is married, but don't the other two still have their fucking, like, Jesus rings on, or their promise rings?
Promise rings.
Whatever the
and
fuck.
And also rubber thumb rings that say, I don't know what it says, but it involves...
Texting kills.
Texting kills. Don't text and drive.
Oh.
That's a big thing.
That's their big
God.
But,
of everything that they could shine a light on.
But
right.
You,
that's why they were so cool to us, ironically, is because we wanted to bother them to shoot this weird sketch. And just the fact that we were, like, sort of, like, post-pubescent...
Peers. Kind
yeah.
of
Yeah,
peers.
We
kind
talked
of
to the best people.
Oh, right.
Like,
but,
hey,
and then
I don't know what your name is, I don't care what you sing. And that was so liberating.
Yeah, yeah. And the game of the shoot was that Matt and Adam were going to be, like, the screaming teen fans. And they got it, and they loved it, I think because it made fun of their fans, who they seem
yeah.
to hate.
Uh-huh. Perhaps they have contempt for.
Right. Well, I can identify with that.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Because
whenever you go to the concerts, it's
like, yeah. Whenever I go to, yeah, and people are like, do a podcast. And I'm like, guys, I'm not here for that.
All right.
Okay? Jesus. Yeah. They sing happy podcast to you.
Yeah. I'm here for Turn Right.
What is that?
That's a track from the Jonas Brothers.
Oh.
It's a Joe Bros track.
Camp Rock 2 out on DVD.
Yeah, we have to.
You signed a contract that you have to
every
plug.
Every time we talk about
it. We actually
them.
Did plug Camp Rock 2.
See
I'm
Camp Rock 2.
And then it did well, so.
Yeah.
Well, thank God that the Jonas Brothers and Demi Lovato can eat again.
someone just threw in a Demi Lovato reference.
Yeah, well, you know, I signed a contract with Disney to plug Demi Lovato every time I do a podcast.
no idea.
Which is only like once every 2 months,
okay,
am I right?
Yeah, well, screw you guys. Start your own podcast. You know what? I just said start your own podcast. Meanwhile, I'm terrified somebody else is going to start their own podcast in the absences that we have.
I think this is the only podcast.
This is the only one, right? There's no other ones. I never go on iTunes, by the way.
I've just got into podcasts. They're great.
Yeah.
Got a new iPod.
You got a new iPod?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see it on the podcast.
Yeah, this will work great for radio. okay, so what's next for you guys, individually, collaboratively, whatever? You guys gonna have a picnic? You guys gonna start
yeah.
You
well,
guys
we do
want
to go
team?
To Atlantic City and celebrate the first season. Hopefully, we're hearing news some point soon about the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going out to LA for a week?
Yeah, yeah. Harvard Sound team is going out to LA tomorrow. We're going to do a show at UCB on Tuesday night.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Good.
That's great. There. And Craig will be there, too.
Yeah, I'm going out to LA as well.
Yeah.
I'm writing for a show also, which is cool.
That's great.
And what else is going on, guys?
Sidecar is going to try and screen our pilot.
You guys just won a New York Television Festival.
New York Television Festival, Best Comedy for Illuminati Brothers.
Yeah. Great.
And we want to show it to more people. Now that we have that, I think people will be real psyched to see it.
So yeah, I think I'm interested in seeing it now. Now that it's won the war.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, magic is happening right on these.
Usually I'm like, I don't care. But once something wins an award, I want to be involved.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Law Firm.
10:30.
And also, yeah, if you haven't seen the show, for some people who haven't seen this show, the Pretty Good Sports Show.
Yeah, ESPN New York.
All the episodes are on ESPNNewYork.com, and there's a thing on the lower left-hand side for...
Yeah, we live in a little box.
Pretty Good Sports Show. Also, our blogs have it, so if you want to just Google our
name. And the sketches are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. All the sketches are on YouTube. I think it's like youtube.com/shows/... Pretty Good Sports Show.
X9.
X.
Yeah.
Holes in bed.
Percent sign.
Animalistic. And I'm working on Vag Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
It's a web series. We just had a Vag Magazine live at the UCB Theater, and we're going to start launching the series on the 18th of October, vagmagazine.tv, co-created by Lila Cohan Michio, and stars Kate McKinnon, Nicole Dressbill, Jocelyn Guest, Leslie Mizell, Veronica Osario,
tons of talented ladies. Jared,
any woman
Rosario
you like.
Dyson.
If they're not already in it, email us and we'll
we'll put them in.
Yeah.
And that is a web series that kind of it's centered around a woman's magazine.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. It takes place at a third wave feminist magazine that they try to launch after overtaking a fashion magazine they bought with the proceeds of their Etsy shop. So it's their attempts to put out a first issue.
Mm-hmm. Kind of finally sticks it to those feminist magazines.
Finally.
God, if I get bad fucking... If they come up to me, those feminist magazines, and make me buy one of them feminist magazines...
Whenever I walk past FIT, they're standing there like, hey, do you have a minute for a feminist magazine?
Oh,
don't you see I have my headphones in?
Yeah. And,
listen to my feminist podcast right now.
It's Diamonds Wow on UCBComedy.com, and go see Citizen Rothstein and Sing Out Louise at
UCB Theater. Another show that you directed with Rachel Bloom of Fuck Me Ray Bradbury fame.
Right. Indeed.
Also, I heard Catfish is good, that movie.
Oh, God, I want to see that so bad.
Don't say anything.
It's a Catfish.
What? Oh, no.
Just say, is it worth seeing?
The last...
Totally. It's like maybe 51%.
Okay. I'm going to
see it. 51%. Here's the thing. You could go see it, or for the same amount of fascination, I could explain to you what happened.
No. Even that has spoiled it for me, because now it's like, well, I'm not going
to... Now I know you can talk about it.
I wish the end of the movie was just similar to the end of that Faith No More video. It's just a catfish flopping around on the ground.
For yeah, you, for the you know that.
Yeah, you guys know that.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are familiar with that fucking 20-year-old video. Right? Jesus Christ. All
You're
right,
probably 20 years old.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go now.
Love band, stop listening to podcasts.
I think the Kanye album is supposed to...
Yeah, finally, right. And
yeah, we don't need to just pimp our own stuff. Like,
just plug whatever you have read about.
Plugs are really
in.
Good, like into the outlets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Hair plugs are still pretty.
Like.
Good eggshell, a white
People
paint with an eggshell finish. It's nice.
Just sort of as a meta plug, can I plug Entertainment Weekly, the magazine?
Oh.
That's a good place to look for upcoming books and
movies.
Like, they have all the dates.
Yeah. Like Perez Hilton, if you want to know the gossip right away.
Yeah.
I mean, and you don't have like a soul. PerezHilton.com.
Yeah. Sometimes he makes the story. Sometimes
also, if you're having trouble getting on lists for things, Mario Lopez is good to get you on the list for extra.
Mm-hmm. Also, just in general, I want to plug Mark Paul Gosselaar. He's just, come on, get him
he's
back.
He's a good
in the
guy.
He
used to have blonde hair,
and
now
Lark,
he has dark hair.
Lark Voorhees.
All, right. All right, so now we're in a full on association web at this point. any other
students, this is called a bad pattern game.
yeah, it's just heightening the thing.
It's a pattern
right
game
now.
But it's terrible.
I knew a hair gel line called Saved by the Gel. And so if you want to.
.com. That's right.
Hammer Time.
So we talked about our process for so long without ever talking about Craig free associating puns.
That's 90% of your creative.
94.
Every, that's how I got the shot.
Free, your street free association. You go to a lot of pun battles.
Yeah.
Right.
And he wins.
Yeah.
He
wins. On the Staten Island Ferry, like the old Wu Tang Clan. It's called. Oh, boy. Another 20 year old reference for old John Frusciante. Okay, so in closing, how do you live your dreams?
Every day.
Yeah, very carefully.
Scary.
So thank you to the cast and writers of ESPN's Pretty Good Sports Show and a ton of other shit on the UCB theater stage and the UCB comedy website.
Yep.
Just the UCB community.
When's Will Hines get here?
Damn,
you know what? Can I? Let's just stop talking about Will Hines, okay? It's just me now, kids.
Whoa, he's dead?
I don't know when
I'm
this
is here.
Will
Hines are an uncannily good Will Hines.
Will is in Florida doing an improv show with Shannon O'Neill.
Oh.
So
like to plug Florida.
Yeah, Panhandle State. That's a good one. Sticks out nice and it's kind of like a fjord.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Keeps us from Cuba. Thank you.
Thank God, yeah. It's kind of that arm that pushes us.
The accusatory finger when trying to do communism in Cuba.
Okay, so go see those shows we talked about. There'll be another UCB podcast in 3 months, so look out for that.
And stop asking and being a fan.
Follow everyone and everything on Twitter.
Caterade.
If you're still listening, you can email me and I'll send you $10 to everybody. Through the sign.
And also, you will write some of your favorite puns on that $10 bill.
Right.
Okay.
More like a $10 bill because chickens also
deserve
money.
That happened.
Sorry. I
gotta
go.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Money.
And goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to us.